Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
Welcome back. Today we're going to be dealing with chapter number 5, which is entitled The Enemy, Satan. The objectives of this particular lesson are this. Upon completion of this chapter, you're going to be able to write the key verse from memory. You're going to be able to identify Satan as your spiritual enemy. You'll be able to explain how Satan originated, describe his former position. You'll be able to explain how Satan fell from his original position. You'll be able to identify the results of Satan's sin, list the attributes of his nature, identify his sphere of activity, and summarize the activities of Satan. Our first verse, our key verse today, is found in 1 Peter 5:8. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Introduction. In the previous chapters, you learned of a great invisible war that is in progress in the spirit world. You studied the spiritual forces of good engaged in this warfare, and these include God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the angels. Now, this chapter introduces your spiritual enemy, a powerful force of evil known as Satan. Now, you will learn of his origin, his former position, how he fell from his former position, and of those he took with him when he fell. And you'll learn the attributes of his nature, his sphere of activity, and receive an introduction to his strategies. In the following two chapters, you will continue this study of the spiritual forces of evil, and you will learn about demons, the world, and the flesh. In spiritual warfare in the natural world, a soldier must first identify the enemy before entering the battlefield, and he must study all available information on the enemy, his nature, his strategies, and this is why military forces spend much time gathering intelligence information on the enemy. So the same is true in the spirit world. You can only war effectively if you identify your enemy, understand his nature, and recognize his strategies. And as you have learned, the evil forces you face are not clothed in flesh. They are the spiritual hosts of wickedness. The origin of Satan. Satan was originally created by God. We find that in John chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." And in Colossians 1:16, it says, "For him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." God does not create evil, and Satan was perfect when he was originally created by God, but was given a free will to choose good or evil. We find that in Ezekiel 28:15. It says, Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. The former position of Satan. The Bible describes the original position of Satan in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, verses 12 through 17. So you can read this passage in your Bible before proceeding with this lesson if you like. "Now, when Satan was originally created, he was an angel of God. He was one of the cherubim class of angels, holy. He was wise, beautiful, and perfect. And he was the leader among the cherubs and was called a guardian or a covering cherub. His name was originally Lucifer, which means light bearer, according to Isaiah 14:12. He was decked with precious stones set in gold." Ezekiel 28:13 says, and Exodus 28:15 through 11, "And he was given a position of God's holy mountain and apparently led the worship." And we find that in Ezekiel 28:13. So what a brilliant, beautiful picture of Satan in his original position is given in the Word of God. He's described as a gem of precious stones, but a gem has no light of its own. It is not beautiful in a dark room. Its beauty is in its inability to reflect light from without. When God created Lucifer, he made him with a capacity to reflect the glory of God to a greater degree than any other created being. And God was a light that made Lucifer radiate beauty. The fall of Satan. But Satan did not retain this glorious position the Bible describes as rebellion and fall. We find that in the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, verses 12 through 15. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst waken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." In Ezekiel 28:17, it says, "Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hadst corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness." So Satan's fall from his angelic position occurred because of pride and rebellion, and it was demonstrated in basically five wrong attitudes. Satan said these different things that will bear that out. He says, "I will ascend into heaven," and he desired to occupy the abode of God, heaven, desiring equal recognition. He also said, "I will exalt my throne above the angels," or the stars of God. So he not only desired to occupy God's abode, but he also coveted his rule over the angelic hosts. He also said, "I will sit upon the mountain of the congregation." According to Isaiah 2:2 and Psalms 48:2, this is the center of God's earthly rule. Satan desired to rule the earth as well as the angels. He also said, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds." The clouds speak of the glory of God. Satan wanted God's glory for himself. And you can see the following verses as well that bear that out in your book. "I will be like the Most High," is another thing he said. And as we learned in chapter 3 of this course, God has many names by which he is called. So why did Satan choose this particular name? He selected this title because it reflects God as the possessor of heaven and earth. So the results of Satan's sin are this. Here is the terrible results of Satan's sin. First off, he was banished from heaven. Because of his rebellion, Satan was cast out of heaven by God. Ezekiel 28, verses 16 and 17 says, "I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will cast thee to the ground." Number two, he was a corruption of character. Lucifer, once created for God's glory, became Satan with a character that opposed all God is and does. And three, a perversion of power. Satan's power was once used for God's glory. Now it's turned into disruptive and destructive purposes. In Isaiah 14, he weakens the nations. In verse 12, he causes the earth and the governments to tremble. And in verse 16, of those and those taken as his prisoners have no relief. Four, he was destined to the lake of fire. Satan was destined to the lake of fire, Isaiah 14:15. Five, he affected other angels of God. When Satan fell from heaven, he did not fall alone. He took with him a portion of the angelic host of heaven, who participated in his rebellion against God. This group of angels are now part of the evil force of demons, which you will study about in the next chapter. And six, entrance of sin in the universe. When Satan rebelled, sin entered the universe. As a result, there were two actions God could have taken. One, he could have struck down Satan and killed him, but if God had brought down the first enemy in this way, there would always have been the possibility of another rebellion. The history of heaven would have been clouded with similar disasters. And two, the other action open to God was the one which the Bible indicates he took. The claims of Satan to superior power would have their complete trial on earth in the span of eternity that we call time. So when God created the first man and woman, the trial on earth began. You can read the story of the temptation of Adam and Eve by Satan and their fall into sin in Genesis chapter 3, and you will study more about this as you analyze the strategies of Satan later in this course. The battle is still in progress on earth, and this is what spiritual warfare is all about. Satan is still seeking power, position, and worship, but as you will learn later in this course, he is already a defeated foe. Jesus overcame the power of God through his death and resurrection, and the final destiny of Satan is already revealed in the Bible. So where is Satan? Satan in spirit form is present in the world. According to Job chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." And in 1 Peter 5, 8, it says, "Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." So although Satan is present in the world, he is not omnipresent, which means he cannot be every place in the world at one time, as God can. This is why he employs a host of demons to accomplish his plans. Next, we have Satan's activity. Satan has access to the presence of God and operates in the earth, including the air or region above the earth. We find that in Job 1, chapter 6, verse 7, it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." And then in Ephesians 2:2, it says, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." So we may summarize the activities of Satan by noting that they are always directed against God, his plan, and his people. He will attack you in the areas of worship of God, the word of God, your Christian walk, and your work for God. And more specific activities of Satan will be dealt with in detail in later lessons. The attributes of Satan. As you have already learned, Satan is a spirit, but he also has attributes of a real personality. And the Bible teaches that he is, first off, intelligent and subtle. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Emotional. Revelation 12:17 says, "And the dragon was wrought with the woman." He is self-willed. In 2 Timothy 2:26 it says, "And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." He's powerful. According to Ephesians 2:2, it says, "The prince of the power of the air." He's deceitful. In Ephesians 6:11, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." He is fierce and cruel. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." He is deceptive. In 2 Corinthians 11:14, it says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." So then we also have a number of names of Satan as used in the Bible. So the Bible gives many names of Satan, which reveal more about his nature in activities. As you previously learned, Satan was originally called the anointed cherub and Lucifer before his rebellion, but there are other names for Satan as well. In the Word of God, it says Abaddon, which is the Hebrew word for a destroying angel. The other one is the accuser of the brethren, and you'll see all the verses in your book to the right of the names. He is called an adversary. He is called the angel of the bottomless pit. He's called the angel of light. He's called Apollyon, which is the Greek word for destroyer. He's called Beelzebub. He is called Belial, deceiver, and destroyer. He's called devil, which means slanderer. He's called the dragon, enemy, evil one, the god of this world, the king of Tyrus, a liar and the father of lies, murderer, the prince of the devils, the prince of this world. He's called the prince of the power of the air, and he's called Satan, which means adversary or opposer. He's called the serpent, tempter. He's called a roaring lion, a ruler of darkness, and the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. So he goes by very, you know, quite a few names. You can recognize that the power of Satan from his attributes and names because he is a deceptive, powerful enemy of which the Bible warns. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, "Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And in Ephesians 4:27, it says, "Neither give place to the devil." So here's what Satan is not. Unlike God, Satan is not omniscient. He doesn't know all things. If Satan could foresee the future, he never would have allowed Jesus to die on the cross. He would have known that the death of Jesus would overthrow his power and provide a way of escape from the bondage of sin for all mankind. Satan is not omnipotent or all-powerful. Jesus has the power of God said that the power of God within you is greater than the power of Satan. For those who believe in Jesus, Satan is already a defeated foe, according to John 12:31. He is strong only to those who yield to him. The power is limited to the power of God, Job chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. He is only able to overcome a believer as they yield control to him. Because Satan is not omnipresent, which means present everywhere, he dispatches a host of demons throughout the earth to do his will and accomplish his purposes. And you're going to learn more about that in the next chapter. So go ahead and do your chapter self-test and join me in the next lesson.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.